kind of feel like I might have, should have went home last night, but I'd have missed that wonderful discourse this morning. Hear about what I had to say last night. I want to tell you what a minister is, real quick. This is all a preacher is one beggar telling another beggar where there's bread. That's all he is. Nothing special. In myself, I'm nothing. But in God, I'm everything.
Amen.
I enjoyed that sermon and hope you did too. I certainly don't want to take anything away from it today and what time I have. Brother Now brought something to my mind when he was sitting there thinking 10 years ago we may lose this privilege. He would have never thought that, but today it's a possibility. I remember what Elder Sonny Powell said one time when he was coming on an airplane. Whether he was coming into Atlanta or going back to Texas, I don't remember, but he said he sat down by a Chinese lady, a young Chinese girl, and she was reading the Bible. And you know, Brother Sonny had to talk to her about the Bible. So he got to talking to her about the Bible and about church in China. And she said, "We are much more devoted to God in China than you are here in America." And he said, "How's that so?" He said, in China, we're persecuted. We will be beaten and some put to death if they catch us worshiping Jesus Christ. In America, you got churches everywhere and people just take it for granted. And I've thought about those words so many times, how much we take for granted what God has given us. I don't ever want to see us lose it. But sometimes when you lose something is when you realize what you had. But I don't want us to come to that point. So this morning, if you will pray that God will bless us for what time I have, I'd like to talk a little bit about fear. Fear is the first emotion, natural emotion, in the Bible. Did you know that? Somebody says, "What love is?" No. Love was a divine emotion. Love came from God. Fear came from sin. It was a natural emotion. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis, the third chapter, and we'll read the 9th and 10th verse. The third chapter, 9th and 10th verse, and it says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" You know, God asks you that a lot of times. Where you at? Not because he doesn't know where you're at. He wants you to know where you're at. It's good sometimes that we just realize who we are and what we are. So he asked Adam, "Where you at?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Fear is something that cripples people. It can cause you such distress, you can actually have a heart attack from fear. Your heart can actually stop and die. Heard of people scared to death? There's a reality to that as well as sometimes a joke to it. Fear, the scientists have given it a name called phobia. So there's all kind of phobias in the world. There's social phobia, where people are afraid to speak in public. And I never did understand that, because you'll talk to somebody one-on-one. You're doing the same thing when you speak in public. You're just talking to more than one. The beautiful thing about speaking in public, most time they can't talk back. You get to say what you think and go on. You know, a lot of times when you talk to people, you say what you think and you got to spend the next half hour hearing what they think. So social phobia is, it's a fear. There's one called, you all know this, arachnophobia, fear of spiders. I kind of got that in a little bit. I don't much like spiders. There's one called bacterial phobia. That's a phobia of somebody that's afraid they got so many germs on their hands, they got to go wash their hands constantly. My grandson used to be that way. I'm glad he growed out of it. But every time he turned around, he was going in the bathroom washing his hands. I thought he was going to wash them plumb away. Then they call this thing called homophobia. And they call me homophobic. And they call you homophobic. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a homophobic. Homosexuals don't scare me in the least. They don't scare me not one bit. I'm not crossing the street to get away from one. I think it's an abomination what they do. And it's an abomination before God. But that doesn't make me afraid of them. That makes me, in a way, feel sorry for them and pray for them. So I'm not really a homophobic. But all these phobies come in, and phobies stop us from enjoying life. Fear stops us from enjoying life. I know back when I was in school and I took electronics, we was talking about, then I'll date myself here. I went all the way back to where I learned about vacuum tubes. Now, some of you don't even know what a vacuum tube is. But that used to be what was in TVs and radios and all these things, and I learned all about these vacuum tubes and how they worked. And transistors was coming on the scene. And I was scared to death. I thought, I have learned this, but this is new and revolutionary. I don't know nothing about it. You know what I finally realized? A transistor is nothing but an on and off switch. It's something turns it on, turns it off, that makes it what it is. But we make something out of nothing a lot of times in our life. The old saying, we make a mountain out of a molehill, and it makes us fear. So what are we going to do with our fears? And how are we going to handle our fears? Because everybody's got them. I guarantee you, you're afraid of something. You might get on the road and be afraid of being late. So you take chances that you wouldn't ordinarily take. Fear can motivate you to do things you shouldn't do. So how do I handle these fears? What do I do? Let's turn over to the 41st chapter of Isaiah. And we'll see what he says here in his word. Before I go to the 41st chapter of Isaiah, let me go to the 42nd chapter and read you about the people we're going to be talking about. 42nd chapter of Isaiah, the 22nd verse, it says, But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they have hidden prison houses. They are the prey, and none dwelleth for a spoil, and none saith restore. Now, God is saying these people are living in caves. They've had their houses taken away. What would happen to you today if somebody took your house away? They've had their houses spoiled. All the goods that you have in that house, they just took it. They didn't ask you anything about it. They just took it. So they had all this done, and now these people are exceedingly afraid. And it would be easy to be afraid in this situation because you don't have anything. I mean, there's nobody to say restore. There's nobody to say, I'll help you. He says in the 41st chapter of Isaiah, in the 10th verse, he says, fear thou not. You know, those words right there would be meaningless to me if that's all he said. It'd be a whole lot like we got little children running around sometimes, and a little child runs and falls and skins its knee, and it starts to cry. And as that baby's laying there crying because its knee's hurting or whatever's hurting, and you walk by and you look at it and say, don't cry, and just go on. I guarantee you that baby's going to keep on crying. It's going to keep on hurting. But if that baby's mother comes by and picks it up and tells it it's going to be all right, holds it a little bit, and even kisses that little place on its knee that got skinned, put a little mother's love into it, that baby may very well stop crying and start looking at its mom. So the Lord didn't just say, fear not. He said, fear not, for I am with thee. Period. I'm with thee. Even what you're going through, I'm with thee. Isaiah 26, chapter and 3rd verse says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. If we are constantly thinking about God, whatever we're facing out in that world, we need to realize God is larger than it is. Now, there's a lot of problems in this world, and I agree with Brother Now. It may come down to the point where we're not allowed to worship like we're worshiping today, unless we come up with some kind of format where we adhere to what the government says we're allowed to preach and what we're not allowed to preach. I'm never going to get to that point. I'm going to tell you that right now. I would rather go to jail than the government tell me what I can preach and what I can't preach, because it's better to serve God than to serve man. even if I have to serve him in a prison cell. And you think about them prison cells and what they're like. These people were living in caves. But God says, I'm going to be with thee. Think about, I mentioned this maybe last night, the disciples, when they were out there in the ship, and the Lord said to go to the other side, and this ship got real boisterous. The wind got up, and these were fishermen. These were men that knew how to handle a boat. I'll call it a boat or a ship or whatever you want to call it. They knew how to handle it. But they were frightened because this wind was so boisterous. And then they seen something walking on water. And they really got scared. I'm going to tell you, sometimes when Jesus comes to me, I get even scarier than what I was before. Because I begin to see how feeble I was and how faithless my faith was in him. But they see Jesus coming walking on water. And what does he say to them? Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. It is I. Now, how are we going to turn our fear into cheer? See, that's what we need to do. And if we will learn that what the disciples were afraid of, to start with, was the water. They were afraid of drowning. They were afraid of being cast over into that sea and drowning. But where was Jesus? Jesus was on top of that water. Whatever problem you got is underneath the everlasting arms of Jesus. He's on top of it. There's nothing in this world that's going to stop him from helping you because he said, I am with thee. Then he goes on down and says, fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Don't lack courage. We lack courage so much in this world. Like I told you last night about the people in a restaurant, they'll pat you on the back and say, I'm so glad you've done that. But they won't pray themselves. I want to go over and see a person here just a minute. And the scripture talks about who was a very brave person. That was the Apostle Peter. Do you realize how brave he was? I mean, whenever he was on the ship at one time and the Lord was there and he says, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. And the Lord said, come on. Now, these are my words. He said, come on. Oh, Peter, being as brave as he was, just stepped out of that boat. I don't know that I could have done that. I'm going to be honest with you. And all myself, as that ship was being tossed and turned and the water coming in, and I'm seeing how boisterous that wind is, I don't know if I could have stepped out. But Peter was courageous enough to step out. Now, he did all right till he took his eyes off of Jesus, saw the storm, and then he started to sink and hollered out, Lord, save or I perish. You know, very short prayer, but the Lord answered that prayer. But whenever you think about Peter and his bravery and his fortitude that he was such a courageous man, the Lord is telling him something here in the 22nd chapter of Luke and the 31st verse. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now, Simon means kind of wishy-washy-like, kind of wavy. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Now listen to what Peter says. Peter said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you unto death, or I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and unto death. I don't believe Peter was being sarcastic, and I don't believe he's being hypocritical. I believe Peter looked at Jesus and said, Lord, I'll go with you. That's right. Right down to the bitter end. I'm with you. No matter what happens. Right. Then what happened? Then you see the high priest and his men are coming to take Jesus. Peter, being as brave as he was, whipped out that sword. Slew the servant's ear, cut it right off. And I don't believe he was aiming at his ear. I believe he was aiming for right between his eyes. But he cut that ear off. Think of the mercy of God. He reached down, picked that ear up, and put it back on. Peter, seeing all this, and he told him to put up his sword. Then it says, the Bible says, Peter followed afar off. What happened to Peter's courage? Sometimes, like the world going around us today, we lose priests. I have a hard time finding words sometimes of what I'm wanting to say. We lose sight of what's important. We see all the troubles and this election coming up, people wringing their hands if Hillary Clinton gets elected, or they're wringing their hands if Donald Trump gets elected, or they're just plain wringing their hands. I look to the Lord. Lord, whichever one gets in there, guide them. Change them. The Bible says that he can turn the king's heart as he does water. But people won't pray for that. They just say, well, you know, it's over. That's the way they look. That's kind of what Peter thought. Here goes the Lord. You know, he begins to think, I know he's the Lord. Because it wasn't too long ago that he asked me the question, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter knew exactly who he was. Jesus told him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So Peter knew this was the Son of God. But yet here he goes. And Peter begins to think, it's all lost. There ain't no hope now. The one I had all my hope and trust in has been led away. Now, let me ask you something about Brother Now. If Brother Now would curse in front of a young girl, would you forgive him? If Brother Now would say, I never knew Jesus, would you forgive him? You might say, well, now that might be going just a little far. I don't know if I'd forgive him for that. I'm thankful the Lord's not like you. Because that's what Peter did. Peter got down to the point that he's cursed and said, I never knew the man. But I want to tell you something of what Peter learned here in these trials. Even in his fear, even in our fear, if we'll stop and see the salvation of the Lord, as I spoke last night, we'll see something. And Peter saw something. As Peter denied the Lord the third time, what happened? The cock crew, or the rooster crew. Do you know how marvelous that is? In all of Jerusalem, in all of the houses, and all the people that had chickens, it's not like it was today. You know, we go to Walmart to get our chicken. Everybody raised theirs back then. So about everybody had chickens, and they had goats, and they had all these animals. There was not one rooster crowed in Jerusalem until the appointed time. Peter saw something. He thought, hey, this man's got power. And he said he looked over at Jesus, and Jesus looked back at him. And he thought, hey, he's getting beaten. He's getting slapped, and he's getting spit upon. But he's still in control. He's still got everything in the palm of his hand. He knowed exactly what I was going to do. He knowed when I was going to do it. And he made this rooster crow at the perfect time. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't make a rooster crow. Can you? I'll tell you something else. I can't stop one from crowing either. I've tried that. I've thrown rocks at them and everything else, and all they do is quit crowing here and go over there and start crowing. They'll dodge the rocks, but they'll crow. I heard one time that all a rooster was an alarm clock with feathers. He thinks he makes the sun come up, so he gets up there and hollers at it. But the point I want you to see is Peter, even in his feeling that everything was lost at first, in his very deepest trial, saw that God was still in charge. Well, what's that got to do with us? The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. That's the main thing. What got me in this darkened state like last night? Or what am I so afraid of? Am I afraid my children are going to, something's going to happen to them? Do I not trust God? Is God not able to take care of them? I put my trust in thee, O Lord. That's where we need to be. If we're anywhere else, we're going to get let down. So let's go back over here to Isaiah for just a minute. And he says that we are to be of good courage, which keep his courage up. We're supposed to stand bold. And you know, the Bible talks a lot about people's courage, and he talked about one time that he looked down in the gap and found no man to stand in the gap. Found nobody that was willing to stand up for God. I'm going to ask you a pointed question, and I don't want you to answer it to me, but I want you to answer it to yourself. Are you willing to stand for God? That's a hard question to answer. Don't go, oh yeah, I am. It's easy to say that on Sunday morning or Saturday morning in the church house. But what about out there in the world? Well, you've got to have some courage. When I was talking about Peter, I wrote something down here I want you to hear. And if you've got a pen, you ought to write this down, because I love it. It says, faith is believing God in spite of appearance, and following God in spite of consequences. Faith is believing God in spite of appearances. If Peter would have just believed the Lord, he would have saved all that problems he had. You say, well, did he have problems? The Bible says after that cock crew, he went out and wept bitterly. I'm going to tell you, sometimes them mental problems are a lot harder than physical problems. If you don't believe that, you go running through the church sometime, knock somebody down. And you can turn around and say, oh, I'm so sorry, and pick them up. And they'll probably forgive you right on the spot. But you say something hateful about somebody, and I'm not so sure they're going to be so easy to forgive you. It goes down deep inside. And that's what Peter was feeling out there at that tree when he was weeping bitterly. I have forsaken my Lord. I have let him down. I have thought he was not in control anymore. And that's not the only time Peter was that way. Peter got that way after the resurrection. Peter's the first one that said, I go fishing. You know, it's over. Old Peter liked to say it's over. I don't know how many Christians I see saying that today. Look at our churches. We only got 10 or 12 in our church anymore. It's over. There's a church back in West Virginia in a little town that had three elderly ladies that came to that church for a long time. They finally got Elder Ari Toler to come and preach for them once in a while. Now, they'd come and have church whether they had a preacher or not. They'd sing, and they'd talk a little bit, and they'd leave. They didn't try to preach. They didn't try to do what the Scripture didn't give them the authority to do, but they come and worship God at the meeting time. That's one of the larger churches in West Virginia right now. Why? Because somebody was faithful. Somebody was faithful. So when you see a church, and I'm bad about this too, I look at it and think, ooh, this church won't be here much longer because everybody in it's old. Everybody in it will be dead pretty soon. You know, that's something we fear a lot, isn't it? We fear death, but at the same time, we fear old age. If you don't think we don't fear old age, look at the cosmetic company. How many people buy cosmetics and try to make themselves look young again? We fear things in this life that we really shouldn't be so afraid of. I mean, if you're talking about a poisonous snake or something like that, have a little bit of fear about that. Stay away from that. But when it comes to things in our lives, don't be so afraid. Go back here and he says, now, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. God said, you don't have to rely on your own strength. You don't even have to rely on your own ability. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I can handle it. You say, well, I'd like to go see brother so-and-so, but I just don't know what I would say to him. Just go see him. Like I told you last night, Job's friend sat there for 7 days, didn't say a word. And I'd love to have a friend that would do that for me. Even if he did turn on me later and say, you know, that I'd sinned. And I think they were sincere. They called them miserable comforters. Well, they were miserable comforters because they was laying it all on Job. And, whoa, Job didn't have a thing in it except to suffer. Sometimes it's our lot in life to suffer a little, that we might realize how gracious God is. Sometimes we forget what he's done for us. But it says, fear not, I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. God says, I'll be there for you. But you've got to look to me, just like Peter did. Jesus was in the same spot before the cock crew that he was after the cock crew. The difference was Peter didn't really look at him. He was looking at the circumstance rather than the Lord. And that's what we do. We look at the circumstance rather than the one that's able to provide. I want to read you a couple more verses and then I'll bring it to a close. In the 43rd chapter, I believe it is, of Isaiah. 43rd chapter in the second verse. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, you notice he didn't say, if you walk through. He said, when you walk through. I want you to learn one thing. And I go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three Hebrew children. You know that story very well. But I want to ask you something. When they were standing before the king, do you think they had any fear in them? I believe they felt fear. I really do. And that king says, is your God that you worship? Now, these are my words. You'll have to go back and read Daniel. Is that God that you worship going to be able to deliver you out of this? And they said, oh, king, we're not too fast to speak about this. I don't know if he will or not, but I do know he's able. If he wants to. And they grabbed them boys. What do you think them boys felt like? I say boys or men. What do you think they felt like then? They didn't see God. They didn't see Jesus. What do you think they felt like when they got bound into the ropes? Because the scripture says they were bound. The king said, heat that furnace 7 times hotter than it needed to be heated. He heated it so hot, when a man opened the door, he died from the heat. What do you think they looked up and seen then? They thought, ooh, this is it. Lord, I'm coming home. I believe that's what was in their heart. Lord, I'm coming home. Because this is it. I'm following you, but I'm coming home. And when they got cast into that fire, you know what happened? They saw Jesus. We don't see Jesus as trouble's coming. We see Jesus when trouble's there. At the heart of our troubles is when we'll see it. But we get so scared when we see the storm coming that we just don't know what we're going to do. There's a song in that book that says, hide me till the storm passeth by. And I believe that's exactly what the Lord did. And that old king, can you imagine when he came up and looked in that furnace and said, lo, did we not cast in 3? But I see 4. One likened unto the Son of God. Who told that king what God looked like? He knew in his heart this took a power beyond anything we had. And here's another thing about it. You know what that king did? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of that fire, not even the smell of smoke on them, that king made a decree. In all this land, no other God will be worshipped but the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you stand upon the principles of God, I guarantee you there'll be some conversion in this world. And some people will start following God because they'll want what you got. May the Lord bless you, my friend.